All right. Thank you guys so much. Rick, thank you for leading us this morning. Carol's just telling me it was your birthday Tuesday, so happy birthday to you, too. Anytime you mention somebody's birthday, you've opened up a can of worms. Not playing favorites. I just happened to be on my mind with Johnny. Happy birthday to everybody. Okay, let's pray and we'll get into the Word. We're going to be in Romans 8, if you want to turn there while I'm praying. It's okay if you turn there while I'm praying. It's not going to offend God or anybody else. So I'll pray and you guys turn to chapter 8, okay? Romans chapter 8. Father, we just are so grateful that your love is so generous. You just pour it out. Lord, you don't do it in a calculated way like we do. You don't give it after we have been good. You don't wait until we've finally gotten things together and then you reward us with your love. No, Father, you pour it out. And that is the very source that heals it all. It's the only thing possible that could make us right is your love. And then we have to receive that first. And then, Father, we've got to know that we've got to be ready to give that same love in the same uncalculated way to everybody around us for them to be able to figure it out as well. Father, that is the way you set the tone. And we want to follow you. Father, I pray that we could receive your love as you pour it out in generosity, that we would receive it, that we get all the religion out of the way that keeps us from receiving, all of the identity issues of our own unworthiness. Yes, we are unworthy, but you've made us worthy. So we don't have a right, we don't have a vote in that. You've already determined our worthiness yourself based on your generous love that you just pour out as a gift. God, help us to receive it, and then help us to follow suit and give that same love, that generous, unfailing, all-pursuing love to those around us. God, may we just be a body of believers who look like you. Work the miracle of regeneration and maturity in us, we pray. God, that's our prayer. Do your work in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, then be in Romans 8, and I'm going to read, I'm going to be looking at Romans 8, verses 2 through 27. Chapter 8 of Romans is one of the most powerful in the whole Bible. I'm going to be selecting a couple verses out of that, but it's just so good. I just want you guys to hear it and follow along. And if something piques your interest, then go back and study it this week. It's just a powerful book. So I'm just going to read, starting in chapter 2 of Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh man, what a powerful chapter. It just keeps going, keeps getting better. We're going to look this morning at the work of the Spirit in post-conversion. Okay, so you got born again. Now what? That's what we're going to look at. What is the Spirit at work doing in the new covenant believer, the one who's been born again by that Spirit? What is he up to? Best way I know how to answer that is just by the Bible itself. First, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture here, because it just says it so well. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible because it says it best, in my opinion. The Greek language that most of the New Testament was translated from is a superior language. It's superior to English in that it's nuanced. It's very well created, however they did it. It's created with these nuances, with these words in it that are nuanced, meaning that it does an incredible job in taking a very complex thing and explaining it well because of all these nuanced words. Now, what we do with the translation is we translate the best we can into English, but we just don't have the same words they've got. They've got better words, and we have inferior words. But we just throw those words on there and say, there it is. That's why it's critical, guys, that we study the Word of God. You've got to get into the nuanced words that the Apostle Paul used and others, you know, the Aramaic language, the Hebrew language, because they're going to give you a better picture of what's trying to be communicated here. The Greeks would boast and say that they could say with one word what other languages could say with a whole sentence. And I have to say, I think I agree with that. It's just a good language, okay? And we want to make sure we're capturing it. So I'm going to read from the Amplified Version because it does that. It kind of fills it out a little bit, helps our English language understand it a little bit. Ephesians 4:12. So let me start this again. What is the Spirit doing after conversion? That's what we're looking at. And that's what I'm going to let the Word of God answer here. In Ephesians 4:12, the Apostle Paul tells us, his intention, meaning Jesus' intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. Okay, and I'm going to skip down to verse 13. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. That we might arrive at really mature manhood. That the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. Now that says it, doesn't it? That's the goal, folks. Let me continue on in verse 16. For because of him, Jesus. The whole body, joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. How many of y'all believe that? That's the goal, folks. That's the goal. He says he's coming back for a church that is like a bride without spot or wrinkle. He really means that, I believe. I don't think he's exaggerating. I don't think he's just filling us with a bunch of feel-good words so we'll feel good about how awful it is. But one day, I believe he really means what he says here. We are to become mature together. Something that I'm learning here now recently is this truth, that the Bible was written to communities first and individuals second. Us Americans, we got a real issue with independence and autonomy. It's just one of our virtues gone wild. Individualism. And if we aren't careful, we'll read the Bible through that Western lens, and we will miss the fact that this is for us. It's not for just you and me. You don't take your Bible home and say, yeah, me and Jesus are going to come perfect now so I can show all you people how you're supposed to do it. But that's what we do. And then when church folks don't work with our plan, we just take our ball and go home. Don't we? Guys, this is written for us. All of us are broken people, and we like to do that. We disagree. We come up with every problem you can come up with, don't we? Every point of difference that we could possibly invent, we come up with it, don't we? Isn't that the truth? I'm trying to help us here. I'm a lifelong churchgoer. So I'm well-versed in this problem that we have. We don't understand what God is doing and who he's using to do it with. He's using us to do it on one another for this maturity, for this completeness. And listen, this is what encourages me so much. We're going to get this, guys. Not because we're smart, but because he's good. It's not to the man who runs or the man who wills. It is to the God who gives mercy. And he is a God who's giving mercy to us. And we're going to get it because of that. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is what he wants to do. And that's why we're going to get in on it. But we still have to yield. We still have to let him. We still have to surrender. And so I'm giving us a good picture that we can surrender to. Now, that's the one thing you got to do. You got to figure that out. Do I believe in that? What kind of vision do you have for you and for us? What kind of vision? How limited is it? Have you forsaken real maturity and real unity? Have you just forsaken it? You've been in church long enough to say, oh, that's never going to happen. I've been here 50 years. It's just not going to happen. I've already decided. I'm smarter than the Bible and Jesus and the Spirit. I have superseded the power of the cross with my perfect understanding of what we cannot do. If that's you, I'm sorry. The love of God's going to overwhelm you before you even know it, because the God of mercy is here to do that. And I just promise you that. James 1 2 through 4, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you were enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trials and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking nothing. Now, do y'all believe that verse? I could select a whole lot more of these as the Apostle Paul's hammering home what the work of the Spirit is doing in those people who get born again with it. And it is nothing short than the fullness of Christ in us, our hope of glory. That's what it is. Last week we read about some of those people that let that happen in them in the book of Acts. It's the same God, folks. It's the same Spirit. It's the same work on the cross. It's the same Father. It's the same thing. We don't have a right to change where he's going with this. So here's my question I want to give you. And I'm not doing this to beat you up, okay? This is not a beat you up question. This is to stir and to pique your interest in what can be. But here's my question. What if you were everything you could be? What if you just became everything that you could be? Can y'all imagine that? I want to give you a vision for the possibility of that, because that is what God is doing by the Spirit in you right now. That's where he's going. I'd just like to get you on the same page with him while he gets you there, so that we could stop the delaying that we throw into the equation. How much better would the world be and the people around you be if you were better? Imagine that. Y'all know you can't change anybody? But you can change yourself. We can't even change ourselves, but we can surrender ourselves to the one who can, right? That's the only option we've got. That I get better. Not that my kids get better. My kids are messed up. I'm the one that created them. And it's just me growing up in front of me. And they're messed up. So how am I going to deal with that? I got to get better. I got to get more Christ in me. I got to learn how to get above and to love and to pursue and to serve. I have to get better. It does not help me to set them up and talk about how bad they are. It doesn't help. It makes it worse. So what's my option? More Christ in me. I can change. I get to change. When I change, everything will change. When you change, everything will change for you. We are not victims. We are sons and daughters of God. We have a river of the Spirit of life in us that promises to take us from where we are into full maturity, into full blossom and bloom. You're the only one that can stop that. So stop stopping it. Let's get on the page with the Lord and what he wants to do. So what is your vision for your own potential in Christ? Do you have one? How big is it? Does it match God's word? Or have you forsaken the vision that Scripture has for you? Because sometimes when I look around, I think, I'm not even sure people are really believing for all that much, you know? It's just like, oh yeah, we're bad, it's pitiful, Jesus is just going to have to come and rescue us out of here. I don't need to grow, I'm just kind of hanging out, just waiting until he comes. Sometimes I get the feeling that's what we're doing. Just the endless church service. This is what you do. You just go to church and go to church and go to church and go to church. Church, church, church. Churchy, church, church. Is that what this is? Oh, I'm so excited about what God is doing in us right now and what we get to do. What we get to look like. What if what James 1:4 happened to you and to me? It's going to be so awesome. I'm already seeing it. I'm already experiencing it. I'm already in it. I'm like, yes, God, finally, we're going to figure this out. We have within us, let me remind you, we have within us as heirs of God every solution to every problem that this earth has. We have it in us. Treasures in earthen vessels. It's where everything is. It's all right in here. We were recreated to be the planet's caregivers, to have the wisdom and the power to care for this massive, amazing planet that God is even now reclaiming. Did y'all know that? He's not only reclaiming his person, he's reclaiming his planet through his person. That's you and me. Did y'all know that? That's in the Bible. I didn't just make that up. I read that. That's what it says. We get a vision for that and begin to get into it. We are divine sons and daughters of light with infinite potential and capacity. Do y'all know how much we know about our infinite God? Very little, but more than enough to do anything and everything that could possibly need to be done. But we were created to be one with an infinite being of love and life and power and truth. We can open up that gateway and let him come in and do whatever he wants to do in this tiny little sliver of life that we've got. It goes so fast, doesn't it? I cannot believe I'm 51 years old. It's just crazy. It has gone so fast. And it does. It goes so fast. Now's the day. Now's the time to turn it on. Now's the time to think a new thought. That's what repentance is. You get to stop thinking this way and you get to get a new thought that'll work better than anything you've ever thought before. It's all right here, and it's all in here like a river of God that flows out. That's what he promises. A river of living water turns into rivers. That's what the Bible teaches us. Let me remind you, we were born again with an imperishable and uncorrupted seed. That's 1 Peter 1:23. Divine seed. John 1:12-13 says, we were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Right? Isn't that what it says? I'm talking about our source. God is our Father, our real Father. We're created in his image for the purpose of union, to represent him. Now, as children, we are called into discipleship, which is really a better word for that is apprenticeship. On-the-job training to look like him. We are to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do as Jesus did. That's what Christianity is. For full maturity, completeness, lacking in nothing. Now, you know what I did? I got off on the running the race here, and I forgot to give you the original verse that I was going to do the whole message on. That's what happens when you get too excited. So let's turn back here, because I need to tap into this before I go on. So it's Romans 8. And the verse that this is what God just highlighted. Now, we've already gone over verse 16 there a few weeks ago. And man, I was tempting. As soon as I read that, I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that sermon all over again. So I'm having to control myself, using some discipline. And what I'm really going to go with is verse 17. So let's read those two. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now that's really what I want to focus in on, that 17b. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Man, that suffering is what gets us, isn't it? But listen, here's what we've got to go through so that we can get out of us. God, we are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. That is what is within us. So now what God is doing, becoming our Father, is he is fathering us up into maturity so that we can get this treasure out on for everybody else to enjoy too. Because it's superior, it's better. It's Jesus is preeminent. And we have access to him. We can bring forth his preeminence. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. I thought of reading this entire thing, but What it's talking about is to be trained by the Father. Verse 2, it starts out there. Let me just go ahead and read it. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endured such hostility for sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Father loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit," see, he's a perfect father, "that we may be partakers of his holiness, his divine nature. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." Now that's that chapter that's talking about, okay, we have God as Father. Father has come, and now he is initiating fathering. In other words, if I'm his son and God the Father shows up, you better be ready for training. He might wake you up early in the day. He might give you a job to do alongside him because he's got something he wants to teach you. He's going to do things and put things in your way so that you can grow up and rise up above them. That's the training that God the Father will do. And he'll give you understanding, and he'll give you love and power and strength, energy to deal with it. He'll give you his spirit, which is everything. But he will cause you to go to work for growth with a growth mindset. This is something that we've got to really pick up on. There is a fixed mindset and there's a growth mindset. And if you guys are familiar with this in education circles, this is a big shift that has gone on just in the last 20 years or so. Years ago, people were taught that we were just limited. You know, what you got's what you got. You pretty much just got a limit on you, and you can just do this much. You know, you're just as smart as you can be, and that's it, and it's cut off. And that's a fixed mindset. And they're finding out, lo and behold, that's not true. It's not true. Have y'all noticed how in America you'll find these people doing superlative things? They just keep on breaking records. It just never does stop. Have y'all into the endurance athlete crowd? You know what kind of endurance humans can endure if they train for it? There seems to be no limit to what we can do if we face the difficulty with a growth mindset. Now, what's a growth mindset? It is the belief that our abilities and intelligence are not fixed traits, but can be developed through effort, dedication, and willingness to learn. Meaning, people with a growth mindset embrace challenges, persist through setbacks, and see feedback as an opportunity to improve. When you have a growth mindset as a believer, now what do we have in us? God. Resource. Unlimited. Anything you want. Resident genius in here. I don't care if a teacher told you in the sixth grade that you were dumb and you couldn't do something. But you know, a lot of you people are limited by something like that. I was. They told me in school I was not smart. That's what they told me. That's what I got out of school believing about myself. I'm dead serious. Early on, they told me, they were very clear. Certain teachers just let me know they were not pleased with my abilities and what I was able to do in school, and they labeled me as limited. It took me years later in life, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not dumb either. In certain areas, I'm really sharp. And that's just the truth. Now, that has more to do with the fact I've got a resident genius in me than anything else. Because if you begin to believe you've got Christ in you and you've been born again in that spirit, you'll tend to believe you have potential. And you'll believe in it. And then when you're faced with the difficulties, you'll just figure out how to rise above it, because God's good and He'll help you and He'll strengthen you to do that very thing. And that is what God is doing. So here's what God does. He will bring you trouble to overcome. He will bring you offenses to override with love. He will bring you problems that will stop you in your tracks, because He always brings us stuff to reveal our weakness to us, along with the opportunity to become one with Him, which is the option of growth. Improvement comes through, and here's the Christian's, this is the Christian's way. This is our ace in the hole here, dying to self. Romans 8:17, that's what it says there. That's really what it's aiming at. Let me get back to it here. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. See, we have to meet Him at the cross over and over and over and over. That's where all the limitation was paid for. That's where your life and Jesus' life meets. It's where that's X meets, it's the spot right there. My limitation and weakness, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I've got to get into Christ. Oh, okay. At the cross. We share in the sufferings He already paid for us. He already paid for those sufferings. He already paid for those limitations. He already paid for the offense. He already paid for the lie. He paid for the shame. He paid for it all. We go to the cross to die there, and He gives us a brand new life that is an overcoming life. It will overcome. It will cause you to overcome whatever's in your way. You'll overcome it. As you die to self and as you live in Christ, it's the fathering of God, and He is using it. See, in verse 11 there of Hebrews, it says, Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. It's painful. Sharing in the suffering is painful. Dying to self is painful. Nevertheless, it goes on to say, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, of divine life, of maturity, to those who are trained by it. See, we enter into the training. All right, I got to speed it up here. Training. How many of y'all like the movie Rocky? It's kind of from my generation. Oh, my goodness, man. When that movie came out, Rocky One. That's why I love that at Luke Gent's funeral, they played that Eye of the Tiger. I was like, yes! Eye of the Tiger, yes! That's what this is all about, getting the Eye of the Tiger. I'm telling you guys, if we could get that Eye of the Tiger, that movie, and why they're so awesome is because Rocky represents all of us. The has-been, the can't-do-it, the southpaw, the way he's not supposed to do it that way. You can't do that, but he had heart. He wouldn't stop. You couldn't stop him. That's why we love that movie. It represents all of our limitations and the hope that we could rise above them and make a difference. If we'll get the Eye of the Tiger, we can gain this single-minded perception that the Scripture gives us. You know, Jesus said that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. What's he talking about? Get your eye on me alone. Get your eyes on my words and my promises. They will lift you up above all, anything that would stop you. If you'll get into me, nothing can stop me. I'm unstoppable, he said. He is. He's here. Unstoppable. That's why nothing can get in the way of him. Nothing for long. We are his extension here. We get to get into him and prove that true, says Romans 12:2. Prove it. Prove the perfect will. Prove the superiority of Jesus. Prove the power of an unconditional love that pursues and never stops. Prove its power. Jesus left us the baton to do that. God will allow us to get kicked around, folks. Have y'all noticed that? He'll let it happen, even by our brothers and sisters in church. You know why? Because we're all broken. What else could we do but slip up and hurt each other every now and then? With the opportunity of overcoming that. This has been the greatest life lesson for me personally. I got hurt in church when I was young. As many of you have, if you were raised in church. It's a great place to get hurt, by the way. It's just so easy with our little tender feelings. Walk around, somebody do something you don't like. Gotta let it happen, folks. This has been the greatest lesson in my life, to understand that and to be okay with it. To say, yes, yes, of course. We're here training one another. That's what iron sharpens iron. That's what it means. Y'all ever read that verse and then thought that maybe that was like a fun thing or a comfortable thing? Iron sharpening iron? That's not going to be fun. That's going to involve death to self. That's going to involve sharing in the suffering of Christ. And it's beautiful. It's okay. It's wonderful. Because we're loved. We're so loved. In other words, I don't need you to love me back perfectly, because I already got the source in me now. He's already in me. I don't need you to love me perfectly, because I got him in here. Oh my gosh, I want to explode with this. When we get this one, I'm excited, because I've been tripping on this one my whole life. They're not loving me right. They're not loving me perfect. Where's Jesus in the church? Jesus says to me, I'm in you, buddy. Why don't you let me love you and get your eyes off of everybody else and just let me love you. And you can just let me come out on them instead of waiting on them to love you perfect. Why don't you love perfect? It'll change your life, folks. It'll change your church experience. God has allowed people to hurt me in church. And today I can stand here and say, praise God for that. God, I bless you for your training. I bless you for every brother and sister that rubbed me the wrong way, because I stand here today understanding that your love is inside me and nothing outside me can take it away. And I get to stand here and let that out and pursue and forgive. I get to let the cross be powerful in me. And I practice it on my brothers and sisters here so I can go out in the world and do it the same way. Isn't that right? I'm telling you guys, I've learned to bless the people that have hurt me and to thank God for them and to pray God's blessings over them. Lord, I pray you just pour it out on them. Lord God, fill them up, heal their hearts. Just do the greatest thing you can imagine to them. That's what I want for them. It's the Spirit of Christ in me. That's the only thing I can say. That's what the Spirit of Christ in me says. Because it isn't me. It's something I found in me. It's a supernatural, divine God of love that I have found in me. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you that you broke through, Father. Thank you that you held me in place until you could begin to help me see the bigger picture and understand it. Thank you for this church, Father, that you're going to do this in. Y'all know that happened to Joseph. Joseph's story. I've got to stop here. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and at the end of his story, Romans 8:28 happened. It all got flopped on the enemy, and Joseph said, God did this for our benefit. It's the same thing. He draws us into this. Romans 12:4. Bless those who hurt you. Bless them. And do not call down curses on them. Verse 16, agree with each other. Don't be proud. Be willing to be friends of people who aren't considered important. Don't think that you're better than others. Verse 17, don't pay back evil for evil. Be careful to do what everyone thinks is right. If possible, live in peace with everyone. Do that as much as you can. Oh my goodness. So what is God doing as a perfect Father? He's exposing our weaknesses in training. He is teaching us to share in his sufferings and to die to self on the cross with him. That's what Isaiah 53 goes into great detail about what he bore for you and me. He already paid for it so we could have resurrection power and life. We just have to go to the cross and exchange it. Father, here it's your way. Take this, fill me with love. Come into this pain, fill me with love so I can give that love and pursue. Lord Jesus, do this miracle in me. Training for weakness. I'm not going to go into all this, but y'all know Paul's example. The most powerful example outside of Christ was Paul's in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and 28. He goes down through this list of trials and tribulations that are amazing. Beatings, imprisonments, just awful. You could not stop him. He just got up stronger. Why? Because he had the almighty, powerful love of God in him. John 16, 33 talks about this very thing. This world is going to be tough, guys. You're going to face trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, "But hey, I've overcome it. You can get into me. Get in me, you'll have peace." And then the God of peace in 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, he'll sanctify you spirit, soul, and body. He'll make you whole and complete and mature, lacking nothing. That's what he'll do in us. I keep thinking of the movie Rocky. I'm going to end with that. Y'all know in the first one, Rocky and Apollo, Rocky just getting beat to death, but he just won't stop. And there's this one scene at the very end of the fight where they're both just beat to death. And Rocky is getting up one last time, and it shows Apollo's faith. And you can just see in Apollo's face he gets defeated because he's gotten up again. He's like, no. The perseverance. It comes down to who's got more. Whose source is greater? Who's got the bigger heart? Whose heart is yours attached to and mine attached to? What does it do? What is it like? What kind of a fruit does it bear? Is it limited? We get to prove the unlimited, all-powerful God that lives and abides within us. That's the whole point. We run into things that we get to overcome as we walk with Christ. And so I tell you, Romans 8, 17, share in Jesus' sufferings, church. Exchange it for resurrection power and grow, 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 grow. Be ye transformed. He really will take us from a caterpillar to a butterfly in a metamorphosis, in a transformation. It's real. It's true. That's his goal. That's the work of the Spirit in a born-again believer. Amen? Anybody in on this? Anybody want some of this? I'm telling you guys, this is what God is doing here. Jump in with both feet. The Spirit of the Most High God is here to use this body of believers to transform Bristol. I believe that with all my heart. He wants to do more than we could ask or imagine. So, Father, we agree with you. Would you do that more than we could ask or imagine? Would you help us know you, Lord Jesus? Oh, God, open the eyes of our hearts to see what you have already given us, the river of living water that you are. We love you and praise you, Father. Rick, if you'll bring your team with us, we're going to have a time of invitation. This is a time, guys, that you can just recommit. You can make any kind of commitment that you'd like to make. Today is the day. God is here to do a mighty work in you and in me. Lord, may we choose you. Father, help us, teach us, train us. Help us understand how present you are. Awaken us, fill us. Pour out of us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless you. If everyone would stand, if you'd like to make any kind of decision, if you'd like to join the church or meet Christ or have prayer, we'd love to pray with you. The altar is open.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. find in me my all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin that caused the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
If you guys just be in prayer, we got some people praying up front here. Just be in prayer. Just keep playing, Phyllis. You're fine. Just want God's Spirit to do His work here.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when the throne and in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
All right, guys, y'all ready to go home? It's that time. Y'all don't want to go home? Everybody be seated. See, I got, okay. I know you're ready to go home. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry I get so excited. I about to explode up here. But I feel like a fool doing it. It is a little fun. This is so out of my character. It's like the only time in life I go crazy. But I just feel like it's the Lord speaking, trying to get our attention. God, the things that we can do in Him. So that's my prayer for all of us, that we're going to step into it and just see miracles happen. So God bless you guys, and we'll see you back tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless you.